Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Well, as you know, we are in a sermon series called Here's the Scoop. Here's the scoop. You know, I think too many times we end up going through life and not knowing the truth of what God's word says. And so we're believing the lies of the enemy. We're believing what other people say. We're believing that, you know, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Well, as some of you know, we got back from VooCon late last night. Like really late. And I know I've met some new people today. You don't know this about me, but I go to bed early. Like real early. 7, usually 7 o'clock on a Saturday night because Sunday's a long day. But I didn't get in bed till 11 o'clock last night. So I'm a little sleep deprived, but you know what? God's good. And when he speaks through you, you don't have to worry if you got enough sleep, right? I came back with a full heart, and I told a couple people this morning how different VooCon was for me this year. I've always gone and needed something from God, like needed a piece of me healed, didn't go with peace at all, wasn't going with joy, but going because I knew I needed a word. But I went healed. I went whole. And it was a completely different experience that rocked my world. But I want to tell you, we were only gone from Wednesday to Saturday. And I had my outfit for Wednesday already on. But I packed 3 pair of pants. You don't wear pants in Miami. I packed 6 pair of shorts and 8 tops. I way overpacked for this. So I had a lot of unpacking to do. And as you can see here, I didn't get very far. I didn't get very far at all, but there were some things I did have to unpack, and I still do, you guys. So I have a confession to make in front of my friends, because when you confess to your friends, then you have accountability. And when you confess to your friends, they're going to hold you accountable, right? My confession is, I do not like to unpack. I love to pack, but I don't love to unpack. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when I come home from a trip, it takes me 2-3 weeks to completely get everything put away. And those of you that do it right when you get back, you're going, are you kidding me? It took me a week and a half to unpack before I went on this trip. You see, I couldn't pack more unless I unpacked what was already in there. And here's the reason why. Because I packed so much, if I would have tried to put more on top of what was already in there, my suitcase would have been heavier, and it would have cost me more at the ticket counter. And honestly, I really think that's how our life is. We don't unpack the baggage. We let things pile up and pile up, and we're trying to close the suitcase, and everything is pouring out of the suitcase. And it ends up being heavier. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you feel like that season is heavy? That your life is heavy? And haven't you also found that it costs you? It costs you your peace. It costs you your joy. It costs your passion when you have overpacked and you've not unpacked anything else. You just keep shoving more of what life brings on top. And I think that's how life is. We find ourselves not preparing, not processing, and not unpacking. We just shove more in. Life happens. Anybody dealing with life right now? Hurt happens. And we go through traumatic situations. And instead of dealing with it, instead of unpacking it, we shove more on top. But like you see right here, stuff's hanging out all over the place. That trauma, those hurts, stuffed in your baggage into your soul is not going anywhere till you deal with it, until you unpack it. And when that happens, when you unpack it, your soul and life are lighter. And when you check into your life, it doesn't cost as much. It's so important that we unpack our baggage. We find that our life gets heavier and the weight costs us more. I want to kind of speak to you for a moment about a message title. It's time to unpack our baggage. Let's pray. Jesus, you know everything that we've shoved into our soul, every hurt, every trauma that we've not processed with you. And today, Lord, I pray that you open our eyes, you open our ears, you open our hearts, and that you help us to reveal those things and begin unpacking them. We want to live a life and a life more abundantly, but we can't do that, Lord, as we continue to add more to. So today we ask that you come be the healer. Jesus, you took the stripes for our healing, and that's not always our physical healing. It's a healing in our mind, a healing in our heart, and a healing in our soul. And so, God, I thank you today that you're here and you want to help us unpack our baggage. I want to read a scripture. It's Luke 4, and I'm going to be reading 17 through 21. It says, out of Jesus' own mouth, something that was prophesied back in Isaiah. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. If you need to receive that today, hold up your hands. I believe that he's here to set the captives free today. He wants to bring freedom all across our life. I've invited some of my friends to join me on a panel. So if you guys would go ahead and start making your way. Give them some walking noise. It's nerve-wracking. when they have to come up here. I want to break down for a minute why we don't deal with our hurt and our trauma. It's because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And what he ends up doing is he gets in our mind and allows us, because we're choosing it, to believe lies. And then we have our minds so full of the lies that the enemy is telling us that we can't even believe what God says. So our identity has been stolen. So what happens is we are made up of three areas. We're made up of a body. It's that carcass that carries us. We are made up of a spirit. And if you love Jesus and you've given your life to him, what inhabits your spirit is the Holy Spirit. And then we're made up of a soul. And our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so how he steals and kills us is something happens that creates an emotional feeling, right? We have this emotion. And instead of taking it to the Lord and letting him deal with it, what ends up happening is we let it go to our mind and we partner with the lie of the hurt in our soul realm. And then in our soul, those little things are like fragments. And those traumas begin to open up for the enemy to eat our lunch. And the only way that we can not have those traumas dictate our lives, I chose that word carefully, dictate. That was not what I had down. But those traumas dictate our lives. And they show up in ways like going around the same mountain. You feel like you're an Israelite. You're out in the wilderness, and you know that you love God and he loves you, but then you partner with a lie, and then you're going and wandering for 40 days, 40 months, or 40 years. Because we did not partner with the Holy Spirit and bring him in and let him heal that place. I think that one of the ministries that we have here at Our City Church is called Inner Healing. And I think that we truly want to get so close to the Lord. Our immediate will is to believe, is to love Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is our heart's desire. But those little traumas that we haven't dealt with get in the way. And it affects our will, it affects our mind, and it affects our emotions. So we stay stuck. We take 3 steps forward and 12 steps back. If you find yourself in a pattern, there's your sign. You need inner healing. And let me tell you, I've been married 4 times. And it all started from abuse. And guess what I kept being in a pattern of? Abuse. Second marriage. Abuse. Third marriage. Abuse. 4th marriage to Pastor Rich. Abuse. Kidding. But We get in patterns. So if you're stuck in a holding pattern right now, you're stuck doing the same thing and not getting different results, you are a great candidate to go through inner healing and deliverance. I'm going to be asking some of my friends some questions. And if you could get the table, I want to introduce them. And then we'll open that up. Renee has the mic right now. And Renee leads. She is our leader of our inner healing ministry. And then I'll just keep going clockwise. Yes, give it up for her. If you've ever had inner healing, you know. Let's appreciate her. She does this for no pay. She does this because she feels called to help set the captives free. And then, I guess that's clockwise. This is Demetrius Robertson. Give it up for Demetrius. You've heard him preach here on a Sunday morning. And then to my left is Terry Wingfield. And Terry's been doing this for a long time. Terry and I went to a church before we started this church, and she was doing it. It wasn't a part of that ministry, but she was doing it with other people, doing inner healing with other people. And then we have Pastor Johnny. And yes, please give it up for all of these people, powerhouses. But where I want to start is, Renee, if you would just share some of the process, because I get that question all the time. Like, what is inner healing? What goes on at inner healing?
Okay, it's very simple. I'd like to demystify the process of inner healing. It's because beautiful. Basically all it is you go into a room with a couple of us and we pray. We ask God to reveal whatever it is that he needs to reveal in these sessions. And so we ask him to reveal, what are the lies? You know, it's that simple. Father, what are the lies that I'm believing? And we listen. And so we walk with you hand in hand. And, it starts out with a little bit of an interview. You know, we find out about your history, and we kind of look for some things that maybe we need to pray about. You know, what are your traumas? What are you struggling with? And then once we identify those things, we spend, you know, the rest of the sessions are spent with him. It's not us. We are so unqualified, but we pray. And we've learned to trust him, trust that he speaks. Because when we start a session, we ask him to block out anything but his voice. And we have to trust that. And so even as leaders of the sessions, we're having to trust that what we hear from him is from him. And sometimes that can be a little scary for us because I find that, you know, he has a sense of humor and he's very personalized. You know, I might get something that I'm like, this is weird. You know, should I say it? And I'm like, okay, Lord, you put this on my heart. I'm going to say it. And then all of a sudden I find out, wow, that was so personal. He was so personal to that person. And it's just beautiful. And so that's what it is. The enemy only has lies. And so inner healing is nothing more than going to him and breaking the lies. And every trauma, every, we operate, I'll just say real quick, we operate off the philosophy that the enemy has a couple of ways to get to you. Either one, by willful sin. You've done some willful sin, and, you know, this could be a time of repenting and forgiveness of where you're at and starting fresh. So that's one way. The other way is, you know, it's nothing that you did. You know, it could be an event. You know, for example, you know, I always use, when I'm talking to folks, the 9/11. People that were there and witnessed 9/11, they didn't cause that, but they were traumatized by that. So that was out of their hands. So there are things in your life that either you've done to open the door or someone else has opened the door and you had nothing to do with it. You know, and then we look at the doors. You know, what is it? Is it willful sin? Is it unforgiveness? Inner vows and judgments? You know, there's just a lot of things that we kind of walk you through to help you define. Because sometimes people show up and go, I don't know, I just know something's off.
Yes.
So, you know, our job, you know, are to help you identify that. But the biggest thing is to take it to the Lord and let him break those lies off. And it's just amazing, but it's not scary. And I also wanted to say, while I have the mic, don't think that inner healing is this big, you have to have this big, ugly things going on in your life. I go through inner healing about every 3 months. I have to, because when I'm feeling off or if I'm feeling like offended, guess what? It's usually I need to deal with something. So I'll run to one of the team members and say, I need a session. I'm off. So don't feel like, you know, you have to have this big, messy life to go through inner healing. I believe that we all need to break off the lies as they show up.
So good. I'm so glad that you covered that. It is not one and done, because life happens, right? And so when life's happening and you do feel off, how many times have I come to you guys?
Right, exactly, even Pastor Mindy comes.
And I think why we don't go is because we're fearful that somebody is going to judge us. And this is a no judge zone. And pride, like, I don't want people to know my stuff. Well, do you want to get free? Because if you don't let people partner with you and pray, you are not going to get free. Go ahead, and Pastor Johnny, I know not only are you on the team, but you have also had inner healing. Why don't you just share what inner healing has done for you?
You're going to make me cry right off the bat, aren't you? Anyway, you have to be very vulnerable. That's one of the things you have to do first. You have to get uncomfortable enough to do something about your situation. And you're going to live with what you're living with, or you're going to search for something better. Boy, for me, I had battled thoughts of suicide for quite a long time. So that's where my spiral ended, was I'm going to jump off this bridge. It was hard for me to walk past a bridge and not formulate a plan on how to walk up those girders and where I should jump off from. That I didn't tell anybody that, so sorry, honey. but that's where I was. And so you can't let the enemy win. You've just got to say, okay, I'm going to do something about this. My journey started probably 25 years ago, but it's cyclical, so you need to keep refreshing yourself.
Yeah.
So I went through a 5-year intensive period where I dealt with the big issues of my early life. But I found that as you go through life, you still have other issues. You might have peeled back one layer of the onion, but there's more layers to go through. And so inner healing dealt with the spiritual side of it. I had gone through the therapeutic side and the counseling side and the support group side. And that would correlate with like something like Celebrate Recovery. You're dealing with the individual habits of an addiction or something like that. But inner healing was such a surprise, and it didn't take long because I was used to a big, long process. Inner healing is not a long process. For many, it's quick because we've never made the decision to open that door and see what's behind there and rebuke it and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over
it.
And so you see it from a spiritual perspective. And so the spiritual perspective, I believe, has so much power that it dictates that word you used, what used to dictate our lives.
Come on.
And has given us freedom where there was bondage. So it's night and day for me. It's life-changing. A much happier person now than I used to be. Sherry can testify to that. But you have to keep trying. You're going to fail. You have to get up. These things just don't disappear overnight. You can get the victory, and the Lord can give you a word, but then you have to walk that out in your life.
Yeah.
But the end of that is freedom. And I wake up every day in freedom and not bondage. So that's what it means to me.
I just want to honor you because I have watched you over the past several years, and what I've seen is more of a confidence in your identity, like things that at the beginning when I first met you that got you spiraling, not down where you used to be, but where you didn't feel worthy. Like, you have so much contentment now, and you believe what God says about you. And it's been the most beautiful journey to watch. So thank you for sharing. Carrie, I'm going to have you share what Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about in inner healing and what you've sensed that he wants to speak over our church today.
Funny you should ask. I'm a little nervous, so give me grace. It was no coincidence this morning when I woke up and I was journaling that, and I have a book that I frequently read. And in the book, there was a note that said, June 18th, 2025. Anyway, and I'm on the 18th. There's 21 meditations in this book, and I'm on the 18th.
Wow.
God uses numbers with me. It's a God thing. It's not a... Anyway... But it was all about judgment.
Mm.
And I don't have what I would call, I'm trying to be careful. I lived a pretty mundane, simple life. I had a good family. I didn't have a lot of trauma. And I'm thankful for that. However, I've learned that the enemy doesn't care.
Mm.
Because he will take any little thing and he will make it a mountain when it was a little anthill. And it's always the same lies, whether you've been through a major trauma you've been through just life.
That's good.
And so my MO, I gave my life to Christ when I was 8 years old. Yeah, 8 years old. And about the same time in life, now that I look back 2020, the enemy created a lie in me, and I just felt like there was something wrong with me. I was flawed, and there was nothing I could do about it. That was my MO. That was my go-to for probably over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saved. I knew Jesus loved me here, but I knew that there was always a fear of you're never going to be enough, just unworthiness. And the Father has completely broken that off of me. I have a confidence because his affections for me are real, and I believe him.
Yeah.
And the lie does try to come up every once in a while, but instead of wallowing in that for days and hours and weeks and months, I recognize it and I'm like, nope, that's the lie. And very quickly, I run to him, like you were talking about, help me. And so this morning, I went back to that journal and it was judgment. And I was like, I just wrote down some questions because I asked the Holy Spirit, why am I feeling kind of this darkness right now? And he said, judgment.
Mm.
Well, who am I judging? You.
Wow.
And women. I usually do inner healings with women. you're harder on yourself than anybody else.
That's the truth.
You could be a great mother, a great wife, a great friend, but, but there's always a but, you know. And I ask him some more questions, and we use something in inner healing. We asked Holy Spirit, do I have a wall up that I'm protecting myself with? Yes, you do. And this all happened in my quiet time. It was so profound because I was like, you know, but for 40 years, I felt like a crumb ball. You know what I mean about myself? And that entrenched thing just continues and continues and continues. But once I saw it, so when the Lord told me this day, you're judging yourself, it's like, you know, for 40 some odd years, I resisted that in every way I knew how. I read the Bible. I prayed. I went to church. I did all the things. Check, 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 check. Why am I still miserable? But the minute the Lord pulls that veil back and shows you, you know it's the truth. Mm. There's something deep in there. And it's like, acknowledge that. And I'm telling you, the minute I acknowledge that with him, whew, the most powerful encounter. And I won't go into all the tools. But I'm just saying, if you've had a little tiny lie your whole life that persists, quit resisting it and start asking him what that is all about.
So good. So good. So good.
Demetrius, I'm going to ask you if you would share some things that you've noticed that might be a sign that we need. I need a checkup. I need to get some freedom. And then share your experience with inner healing.
I think one of the first identifiers of that you may need inner healing is if there's something that you refuse to try again.
That's good.
If you find yourself, the way you know there's trauma there is if you find yourself saying, I'm not going to do this ever again. I'm not going to love again. I'm not going to go to that place again.
Wow.
I'm not going to speak about this subject again. That is an indicator that there may be some trauma there. And you might need to address it and bring it before the Lord. It's very, very timely of the Holy Spirit that you mentioned 18. As you were just mentioning that, it brought me to Luke chapter 13. There was a woman who had this infirmity for 18 years. And the way this worked, this woman had a hunchback where she could not stand up, and it was just on her. Jesus sees this woman, and the moment he sees her, he lays his hand on her, and he says something to her, you guys. He says, woman, thou art loosed. And when we look at what Jesus was saying to her, he was addressing the infirmity that was on her. That word infirmity means weakness of the mind. At some point along those 18 years, she began to believe that she couldn't stand up anymore. And so for 18 years, she just kept going, hunched over, something literally sitting on her until Jesus came. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says that Jesus Christ was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Every lie that has this narrative in your mind to make you feel like you can't do it again, you can't, that you can't be touched, you can't be healed. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a lover. He will love you. Even those areas you don't feel like you can share. He's so mindful of each and every one of us that he has a way of making things all connect. You thought it was a coincidence. No, it's because he loves you. You're here today because he loves you.
Yep.
They didn't just invite you. It's because he loves you. I remember going through inner healing and just talking through things that I just thought was just like, oh, everybody thinks this way. And not knowing that it was really a narrative that came through as a seed.
Wow, wow.
And you begin to believe it over time until you actually address this narrative. The Bible talks about how strongholds work. It is an argument in the mind. And you think it's you because you've been talking about it, or it sounds normal. You think it's normal. But the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but every stronghold that tries to come against the knowledge of God, we have to learn how to pull those things down. And that's what Jesus specializes in. Yeah. And so inner healing helps us address those ideas, those lies, to help uproot them. And so that we can confess and say, this is not who God called me to be. And so I can begin to believe who God says that I am. And so this is the importance of inner healing. And what we've been saying this morning is, whether it's been a week, 2 weeks, years, if it keeps happening cycles, if you feel like you don't want to try again, you're a candidate. We're a candidate mm-hmm. for inner healing. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I love that you brought up the word strongholds, because we agree with strongholds, and then they take root in our life, like you said. But you know what Psalms 9:9 says? That the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold for times of trouble. So there again, it drives home the fact that we choose what stronghold we're going to believe. We're either going to believe the stronghold that is negative from the enemy, the lie, or we choose to believe, Lord, you're my stronghold. You're with me. You're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. And you want to heal me wholly and completely. So my question to you today, whether you're fearful about doing inner healing, whether you don't want to bring your junk because you're afraid of judgment, what stronghold, which stronghold are you going to believe and trust in? Would any of you like to share anything else about inner healing that I didn't ask questions about?
Yeah, I just want to talk about the confidentiality and being afraid of being judged. You know, we wouldn't have an inner healing team or ministry if we talked about your junk.
Right.
So we take confidentiality to, you know, it is the most important thing to us. And we also pray about it. And I know this sounds really silly, but I promise you, we have what I call, I mean, on the team, I've started naming it Holy Spirit amnesia, because we can go through sessions. And we don't remember what we talked about. So, you know, if you go through an inner healing session with us and you say something to us out in the lobby and we kind of have a blank look on our face, it's because we have Holy Spirit amnesia. God is really good and we don't carry that with us. It's not about knowing your junk. It's about watching you get free. And that's what we remember. We remember the beautiful things that he says, and it is so, oh my God. We are just as blessed as you guys are going through this, just to be a part of that, because I get a front row seat to watching people get freed. That's what we remember. We don't remember the junk. So, you know, I don't want anybody to be nervous about that.
I love that. It's the testimony of Jesus.
Yes.
And the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which what that tells me is if he did it for someone else, he's going to do it for you.
Absolutely.
You just have to take the step to allow him to do it. Anybody else want to share anything? I want to share something I think every single person has something, including me. And we've got to get to a place where we're not ashamed. So ashamed that we won't go get freedom. They're going to be out in the lobby. But before that, they're going to be down front during worship. So if you have something you want to come confess or just come and say, pray for me. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will use them to pray exactly what you need in your life. So as they dim the lights, I want to leave you one scripture, and it's Lamentations 3:58. And it says, Lord, you have come to my rescue. You have redeemed my life. So God, right now, we come broken, empty, going around the same mountains, and we lift up our little life to you, knowing that you're the Redeemer. All we have to do is take that step of obedience and allow you to do what only you can do. God, there isn't a person on this earth that could satisfy our soul like you do. There is not a thing in this world that could satisfy us the way that you do. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you rest on us right now. That you would make us uncomfortable so that we make a move closer to you. We don't want the weight anymore. We don't want the baggage anymore. We don't want to have to stuff anything else in. Because when we stuff it in, it comes out, and it doesn't come out in a pretty way. We don't want any more ugly in our lives today, God. So we just surrender to you. Have your will. Have your way. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.